that is swinging. Because it's minus 8 out and it's full of snow and it looks like February. It's really weird, and that's the weather. And it's supposed to be all gone by Monday. But luckily, you're going to stay with a friend at a cabin over the weekend. So,
yeah,
this is exactly the right weather you want, he said sarcastically.
Well, my friend Zenith wants to have a fire outside.
Yes. And that was the...
And there's a sauna, too.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
She's getting all her friends together, so she's gonna be talking the whole time, right?
Yeah, I've met her and her friends, and I mean you're one of them.
And me.
Yeah, I know you're one of them. Though we aren't usually with you. You're not as in danger of the world. Isn't as in danger of you. Over a conversation. You're not that kind of person, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you can't be living with me.
Well, yeah, well, I don't know, but I always had good listening skills.
Yeah.
Because I was an introverted little girl.
Yeah.
A shy person. But I could be a clown, you know? Like, I was a bit of a clown when I was a little girl.
I think a lot of people...
fool around to, you know, clown to make people laugh kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, I get it. Believe me.
And,
I know that one from experience.
Then I just became very, very shy. And, well, I think teenage years.
It's complicated for anybody. Just about.
My dad leaving.
Yeah.
No, it's a lack of confidence.
Well, sure, yeah.
And there were some pretty mean guys at my school.
I don't doubt that.
Like, pretty mean bully type people.
Well, I'm sure most of them are now working in the French fry industry, so. You know.
And I was, like, attended to love books and reading, and especially science fiction.
Right.
You know? But then I did improvisation. The League of Improv was starting to be very popular.
Right.
And that kind of opened me up a little bit to, you know, be myself.
Right.
In a confident way, and then I did Ketimovic. I was shy there too,
well,
but
sure.
Everybody was older than me, so I learned to listen and learn English.
Right.
When you learn a second language, it really works on your listening skills.
Kind of has to, right?
And,
yeah.
But then I had to become a part-time professor, and speaking on the spot wasn't my thing. That's always been your thing. And I never got that great at it, but at least it opened up, you know, my ability to...
Well, I'm just going to say something I've said many times. You have shown me your teacher ratings before, and when I was department chair, I used to see everybody's teacher ratings, and yours is better than most of the people we have.
They started falling towards the end.
Yeah, well, I haven't looked at mine in a couple of years now. I've decided that I'm not going to look at them ever again.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious.
Absolutely. I stopped looking at all that stuff.
Because they're completely unreliable measures.
So unreliable.
They may be actually reliable. They're not valid, though. So, the best predictor of getting good marks on teacher ratings is being a guy. Yeah. And it's even worse. It's the best thing to be is a white guy. Like, it's as usual.
Not a surprise.
Yeah. And the thing that's amazing about all that is that it doesn't matter the sex or the ethnicity of the respondent. they all rate white men higher. Everybody.
Dear.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's ingrained. It's like it's, you know, it takes a lot to get that out of your
head.
Now,
as an artist, I have to do art talks and present sure. about my work and do interviews. So I'm still not the best, and I think very carefully about my words. When people want you to be like, give me the stuff right now. I don't have enough time. Let's pack as many words as we can.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I have a tendency to pause and reflect.
Nothing all that. It's better to think about what you're going to say than say something stupid. I think that one of the nicest compliments I ever gave somebody was a colleague, Tom Alloway, ever talk, when he retired, and I wrote in his card, "You're the only person I've ever met who thinks before he says everything." And that was a compliment, because, I mean, I never heard him say something stupid, because he clearly thought about things in advance. Mm-hmm. Never flew off the handle. It was very impressive.
Well, like, think saying something stupid is...
No, it happens. Yeah.
You just... I don't know. It depends what situation we're in.
Yeah. You've met university professors. They often say stupid things, though.
If you're with a crowd of people that, you know, that you don't know, and you're thrown with them...
Yeah, yeah.
And... The chance of you saying something stupid is going to be increased by that.
Yes, no, that's right. That's right. The situation, you know, and people are more or less forgiving depending upon the situation as well. You know, like a student presentation, if they say something that's ridiculous, it's much less of a big deal as if I said something in class that was stupid. You know, like, even then, it's not that big a deal, you know, as long as you correct it. But yeah. But you think really well on your feet.
No, but I've gotten in trouble a few times about asking too many questions. For example, the non-binary thing, you know, the pronoun they,
right.
For example, in French, how it works. And
right.
How can we do that? It's,
right.
It's not always easy for me to... do it on the fly, and
sure,
especially if I've known someone as a certain gender
for
most their lives, and then it's not that, like, you gotta adjust everything, and then what are the rules, and like, so I've said stupid things around that, and
yeah, but you know,
I can't help it,
but but you're a person of goodwill, and I think that most reasonable people, when someone says, makes, you know, slips up in some way, yet they're a person of goodwill, I think most people are like, cool, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
You know.
Some are more militant around that.
Sure. Of course, because there's everything's a wide range of viewpoints. That's just how the world works, so.
Yeah. But, like, socially, that was kind of a recent... change.
Yeah, that's true.
Where I could have said stupid things.
So, yeah, but you don't.
There you go.
You're pretty awesome. If anybody among this family is going to say something stupid, it's going to be me.
No.
Just by sheer volume of how much you talk. Like, if you just did it that way and the base level, like the base rate was the same, I imagine I'd have at least 5 or 8 times more stupid things just because I talk 5 or 8 times more than you do.
Yes.
Because part of that is I stand up in front of people and talk to buy the groceries. To sort of, now see, it all ties together. It's a beautiful, it's a rich tapestry.
So I'm trying to decide what I should be doing now.
You could go buy all the supplies you order.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I can do it too. I'm saying if you want to kill time, I'm perfectly happy to do it, by the way. No problem. But if you want to do it, you could. It'd give you something to do.
Well, I don't want to do grocery shopping.
Good, then I'll
You
do
know
it.
That.
Okay, then I'll take care of it. It's no problem. Well, you get your phone, right? I will text you when it's a time. When it's a time. I will text you when it's a time.
Okay.
You not come with me? Yeah. You're looking for your phone. Okay. See you in a bit. Right. It's actually really nice out. Oh. Oh, hon. If you're going into the mall or something to shop, do you want a bag? Okay. All right. I think I got everything on the shopping list, so.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's what I do. I should, like, lock the shopping list at the end. I never own the shopping list. It's always John who starts it. Because I should kind of lock it when I get to the store. Because I get notifications when it gets edited, and then I'm shopping, and it's like, oh, what do I have to go buy now? Oh, I gotta go back 4 aisles and find this. Doesn't happen as much as it used to ever since I asked John not to do that anymore.
Yeah?
Yeah. All right. So you're going to hang out tonight at the thing.
Yes.
And have a big festival, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. And you're responsible for breakfast? Like, you sort of split it up that each people are responsible for meals kind of thing?
Sort of, yeah. I hope I don't have to cook it, because I...
Well, cook it.
Better not.
You got me to get cereal, bread, and eggs. Because bread you can toast, and eggs you put in a pan. It's not that hard, eh?
Yeah, it's scrambled eggs, but I don't know. Zenith is like particular about food and
Then have her cook it.
Yeah, she'll probably do it. Tons of people can do it.
Yeah.
They're all, you know,
adults.
Jacks of all trades. Yeah, I'm.
You could make the moron. You could make a bunch. You're not a moron. You could make a bunch of scrambled eggs if you had to.
Of course, but they wouldn't be the way other people like them.
Yeah, well, that's other
my way.
But see, you know, see what that's called is that's a you problem, not a me problem. It's become my new favorite expression.
But that's what I did with you, Dave. Like, you liked your food a certain way, so you started cooking.
Yes. So that
fixed the problem.
Well, that's a solution. That's certainly a solution.
I like everything and I do things my way, and sometimes not good enough. Well, I still eat it. You know? Like,
but yeah, it's one of these things that it's pretty, excuse me, it's usually the case that in a family, one person starts doing the cooking. I mostly started doing it though because you were working till 8 o'clock at night all the time.
Yeah.
You know, because you were working at Budget Rent-A-Car and you had these shifts that went from 12 till 8, right?
Yes.
So I was home before you.
Definitely.
When I was in grad school.
Plus,
so.
You didn't like a whole bunch of the same foods I liked. Like cheese and eggs and bread, sandwiches,
like bread.
Salads, like cold food.
You know, humans invented cooking in order to release nutrients they couldn't get.
Like
I'm not
French,
gonna
like charcuterie boards, for example. There's like cheese and pâtés and bread. It's all the stuff you don't like.
Fine, you eat that. That's great. I don't think it's bad anymore. There you go.
I have cholesterol, bad cholesterol that I have to control, and I can't eat any of that. So there you go.
But what I'm saying is that usually one person. What I was saying was usually one person ends up doing the usually. I don't know a lot of times when it's two people who both do all the cooking, like they do it together or they split it, like you do four nights, I'll do three this week kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot of people like that. Most people I know, it's like, and it's interesting because I don't know if this is something to do with academics or what, but the number of guys I've known over the years who did most of the cooking at their house,
yes,
who were academics, is a large, of course.
The flex schedules.
I think it's partially that. I think it's also partially because I mostly know academics. So that's
that,
you know, that's part of the explanation. But yeah, it's, I think it's the flexibility of our schedules.
I'm a child of a single mother who worked a lot, so I opened cans of soup.
A lot of kids did that.
Did frozen food?
Sure. Back when frozen food wasn't very good. Like, it's actually pretty good now.
It was like little pâtés, fish sticks, not a lot of french fries.
Frozen french fries weren't a big thing until much in the later things. In the 70s, I remember. Like oven fries.
Maybe a bit of leftover from my mom's cooking over the weekend.
Sure.
Sandwiches. Uncle Ben's instant rice.
Hey, I love Uncle Ben's. Anything that has the word rice in it other than rice pudding is great. I'm not a big rice pudding guy. I had good rice pudding, but I mostly had shitty rice pudding.
It's the spaghetti.
Some of these jokes are really just for us.
Boyardee, no Chef Boyardee stuff, but like Campbell's soup.
Sure.
That was Knarr soup, K-N-A-R-R.
Yeah.
That my mom loved.
Knorr, yeah.
Like a leek soup. The Poirot kind of thing.
Yeah, those are like a step up from the Lipton's and the Campbell's, the Knorr ones. I always thought they were pretty good. But yeah, it's, you know, that was...
With crackers, like crackers and peanut butter was big.
I love that.
My dad's favorite snack.
Oh, yeah?
Popcorn and crackers. Premium crackers. Les biscuits soda, they're called.
Yeah, soda biscuits. Yeah, that's what they're called in English.
Du beurre de peanut.
Beurre de peanut is the one that is.
Du beurre d'arachide.
Yeah. But yeah, it's... I mean, when we were kids, frozen food was horrible, though. That's the other thing. Like, frozen food's pretty good now. You can get some frozen things that you can pass off as made from fresh, you know?
Yes.
You couldn't do that back then. It was like, oh. Like, think how much better frozen pizza is today than it was, like, 30 years ago.
Yeah, like, frozen pizza would have been such a treat. That would have been the rich kids. We didn't have that. We had maybe croque monsieur that you could... make with piece of bread,
sure.
Piece of ham, and cheese, grated cheese.
Yep.
Kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Cream of wheat was big in my family.
Yeah, we ate cream of wheat. I like cream of wheat. I haven't eaten in Pope's Age, but I do like it. At least I remember liking it. Maybe I wouldn't like it now, but I'm thinking of the taste, and I remember the taste being pleasant.
It's like, I forgot what they're called, but shredded wheat was big.
Oh, yeah.
My sister loved that, Julie.
Yeah.
Brown sugar.
Yes, with
top.
Brown sugar. I think the reason kids liked it is because for some reason our parents thought it was fine to give brown sugar. Not that it makes much of a difference, but brown sugar was always kind of special, you know? So, the worst is the Weetabix. Weetabix is awful. It just soaks up milk and then becomes like a paste.
Yes.
And it happens almost instantaneously. This is the thing. Like, shredded wheat holds up to the milk. At the end, it gets a little soft. But like Weetabix, you put milk on it, and first of all the milk disappears. You go, where'd it go?
Yeah.
Oh, but that Weetabix is four times the size it used to be. But if I look at it the wrong way, it'll collapse into a paste.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's really... Yeah, Weetabix is not... It also doesn't taste that good. That's the other thing. Like, it's like, well, it'd be fine if it was really tasty, but no, it's not. We'd eat a lot of canned spaghetti when I was a kid. Like, for lunch, my brother and I, my mom would make dudes like canned spaghetti, open up a can, like the Heinz canned spaghetti or Chef Boyardee. Loved that stuff. And then that with a piece of buttered toast, baby, that's now you're eating. That's awesome. It's actually probably not awesome, but my memories of that are great. All right. Well, look at that. We're home and it's not even 11 o'clock. Hell, it's only 10:32. That's great. That's good because I have another 60 fucking exams to go, Mark. Yay! Okay.
Go, Dave.
The
go
less
Dave.
Said about,
you're almost done.
The less said about that course, the better.
Yes.
Because if I start...
Yes. Yes.
It's good that we're home.
That's for me. That's not for everybody else's ears.
Nope.
And he sawed me right through. He said he had enough love to satisfy two. Now if you were me and you were two, what would you do? Would you take twice the love or would you get up the glue? Remember the wagons when they pulled into town? You could see the big top 4 miles around. Among the carnival freaks he stood out like a clown. And from his top hat he pulled a wedding gown. Hey, hey, what you gonna do? You can't love me and another one too. Hey, hey, what you gonna say? When the cat's away the rats are gonna play. Soon we gave birth to a tiny wolf boy. He was a hairy freak, but a bundle of joy. Had a circus bark much worse than his bite, howling through his crib by the full moonlight. Hey, hey, what you gonna do? gonna say when the cat's away, the rats are gonna play?
Come on, come on! Well, the story goes that when he came to Earth, they broke the mold right there at birth. He was so down ugly, just a bag of skin. The doctor slapped his mother instead of him.
Strange, towards the end of my stay, he'd ride the bearded lady and be gone for days. And just when I thought it was safe to relax, he'd be hanging on the ceiling like a vampire bat. In all that time, I learned the tricks of the trade. I knew there'd be a time when I would have to escape. So instead of packing up and moving away, I found his magic wand. Soon all his stuff was gone, but there was one thing left. And as I looked into the mirror, I saw him staring back at me. So I turned to face him, and he said, I'm really sorry, I'll change, I promise. But you know, I thought about all the times he shot me out of a cannon, and all the times that he sawed me in half, and all the times that he put me in a straitjacket, and then in the trunk with a chain and another chain and all the padlocks, and then he forgot about me for a few days. And to make matters worse, there were bunnies everywhere, and I could never find my scarves. And so I took his wand, and with a flick of my wrist, he was the last thing to disappear.